Yes, I did it. I killed Yvette. I hated her so much. Flames on the side of my face, breathing, breath, heaving breaths.
Dial M for Movies with Rhett Bartlett.
I do love how some of the little clips that we play to lead into Dial M for Movies have me going, what's that movie?
Yeah, who's that? Yeah.
Who's that? What's that from? Like that one there. That was from?
Clue,
which is based on the Cluedo
game. Correct. Yeah, no, keep going. Be confident.
That's all I know.
There you go. With Tim Curry.
That wasn't Tim Curry.
Christopher Lloyd. No, that was Madeleine Kahn.
Oh, Madeleine Kahn.
In her finest screen moment where she tries to explain the flames on just how much the anger was and she couldn't quite get it out. It's the film has three different endings and depending on which cinema you went to at what time, you may have gotten
a different
ending. And that only appears on one of the three endings. So there were quite feasibly, before the DVD came out, where they got all three endings, there are people who may never have heard that ending.
That is terrific. Yeah. I love the fact
that
it's
like a choose-your-own-adventure ending.
Well, you didn't really choose it because it just depended upon which one you wandered into.
Just shoot down what I said.
Well, to a point.
You haven't even heard of the film up until 6 seconds ago.
Push.
I'll lend it to you, actually.
Please
do. Because I think you'll like it.
Okay, good.
Are you any good at returning DVDs?
No, I was terrible. Did I ever return that other one?
Which one have I given you?
Shirley or Sheila.
Have you got that?
I might.
Oh, is that where that is?
Yeah.
Can I have it back?
I'll try and find
it. Like, it's in my top 10.
I know it is. Speaking of top 10, top five tonight.
Yep.
Comes courtesy of a production company based in on the Gold Coast called Beer Nuts Productions. It's a very innovative production company. It was founded by a fellow called Goff back in 2006. And in its own words, it set out to prove itself as a prolific producer of contemporary, cutting-edge and award-winning cinema, television, downloads and books, which is incredibly aspirational and to be much admired. The thing that's interesting about Goff, more than the fact that he has talent in filmmaking, is that he's actually blind, which I think I would have thought was probably a major hindrance to being a filmmaker. I think that probably isn't the case. Hello, Goff.
How are you, Lindy?
Good.
You well, I hope?
I'm well, thank you very much.
How long have you been making films for?
Well, I've been going for a while now. Like you just said, 2006 is when BeerNutsProductions.com started up and launched, and I've been going pretty strong since then. I've had a feature film that played in cinemas up here in Brisbane, which was great, a documentary that I did called I Will Not Go Quietly, and I've made quite a few short films now as well, which has been terrific.
And have you been unable to see for all of your life, or is it a relatively recent situation?
No, well, when I was given the whooping cough immunisation, so I believe you're about 12 weeks old,
yep.
I believe, I had a thing called a hemorrhagic stroke, which is kind of like a brain hemorrhage and a stroke all rolled into one, and so I lost my eyesight due to that.
And what was it about making films, despite the fact that you, I mean, it seems such a visual medium to me. If you made music, it would kind of make more sense to someone who actually can see. But what was it about movie making, short or long, or documentary style or fiction or whatever, that made you want to be a part of that world, that appealed to you so much?
Well, mainly the storytelling and the writing. They're the two things that's what started my interest and started my career, really, was the writing aspect of it. And then I just sort of went from there. I thought, well, I've written it now. What should I do now? And being as I can't see, a lot of people were like, well, we're not going to, you know, we don't want to know you. We don't want to help you with this. So I thought, all right, well, I'll just I'll continue on. I'll go on and make it myself then. So it was I wanted to make my own work and tell my stories, and so that's what I did pretty
much. How do you know if it's looking any good?
Well, I do have a production man, Simon, who helps me out greatly. He tells me, we've got a great little system going now where I just say to him, are the actors giving me good face? And he says, yes, they're giving you good face. So I know that, because I can tell if they're delivering my lines how I want them to be delivered. So as long as they're giving good face, then everybody's happy. So, Simon's my eyes, pretty much, on the shoots. He does a really, he's very, very helpful indeed.
Gough, when you go to a cinema, am I right to say that you use the, is it the audio description that some theatres have when viewing a film?
Indeed, indeed. But unfortunately, not a lot of cinemas do have audio description, which is a real shame because, I mean, it does help tremendously, absolutely, no doubt. And it is a huge, huge help when I can access it. But unfortunately, it's in short supply on the ground, which is a real, real shame because I'm sure that there would be a lot of people, even those older people who are, you know, their eyesight's beginning to go for one reason or another, that may not even know that cinemas have audio description, you know. But if you are a bit short of eyesight, I would strongly suggest next time you buy your movie ticket to just ask if they do provide that service. And hopefully they do, and hopefully they can get a lot out of it because it really does help.
And if that's not available, what do you do? Do you just listen intently, or does Simon go with you to those situations well?
No. It's more the first option, you know, because, I mean, you can gather a lot of the time. Like, I mean, some things like a gory horror film, they're lost on me, obviously, but things like a really funny comedy or a gripping drama or a really dark film, you know, that sort of stuff is what appeals to me. You know, I'm not into sci-fi or horror. They're not my genres because, obviously, they're very visual genres. So I more go to your comedies and your dramas and that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
Do cinemas advertise that there's audio description on film, or do you only discover that when you go to a film and then you ask?
Well, I've never seen like a big, I've never heard of or seen of a big billboard or sign them promoting that they've got it, so I would just suggest that people ask, because on the Gold Coast, I only know of one cinema on the Gold Coast that provides it. So I could be wrong, but, I mean, that's a very small percentage, being as there's about 6 or 7 theatre complex up here. So,
When you use it, Gough, what does it say? I mean, how does the descriptor work? Is it describing the scene? Is it describing the looks on people's faces? What's it doing?
Well, basically, it's a headset that you wear, like some earpieces that you wear, and there'll be, like, for example, if a character's walking into a room, it will say, you know, Fred is now entering the room, and then the dialogue goes, and then it'll tell you Fred is now exiting the room. And or if there's, let's say, a guy is murdering somebody, stabbing somebody or something like that, they'll say Fred is now stabbing Charlie, so that we know, okay, so that's what's happening with those characters.
But do they it in a descriptive way? Fred is exiting the room, clicking his heels together with joy and, you know, and is obviously the happiest he's been all movie or something like that. Does it go that far?
Of course it depends on the time that they've got to give the description. I mean, if dialogue is coming straight away as old mates walking into the room, then they've got to be nice and quick. But, you know, I have got a DVD of a terrific film. It's not on my top five, but it's called Submarine, which was made a few years ago. It's a Welsh film, a comedy, and they've got audio descript on the DVD. And it's very funny, actually, because there's a scene where some bullies have taken some photos of one of the characters. And so the woman's describing all the photos of this character being humiliated. And that's actually quite a funny bit because it's a woman's voice, this Welsh accent woman doing audio descript telling us about this person being pantsed and photos being taken and all of this sort of stuff. So that actually was quite humorous to listen to.
That's really nice. Gough is with us. He is a filmmaker. His production company is called BeerNutsProductions.com, based on the Gold Coast. As you are hearing, he is unable to see with his eyes, but certainly can see with his imagination. I don't know how you've come up with your top five, Gough. I'm assuming that, as you say, we don't have a lot of sci-fi in there. We don't have a lot of horror in there. So is there a set of criteria that you've based your top five on?
Well, what I enjoy, pretty much. Good. I mean, I was listening to you guys online earlier, and I think Rhett made a very valid point. I mean, if a film sticks with you a few days afterwards, I think that's a sure sign that it's a bit of a winner, like the Hilary Swank one you reviewed earlier.
Yes.
And so I think I think that really should go into anybody's criteria. If you're still scratching your head and thinking about it and it sort of sticks in your gut for a while, then I think that's a sure sign that it's had some kind of an effect on you, good or bad, you know?
So where do you want to start? This is in no particular order, but what's one of your five?
Well, there's a terrific film, 2006, I believe it was released, called This Is England, and it's a pretty gritty kind of a British. It takes place in Thatcher's Britain in '83, and it's the acting is just superb. It's like watching a documentary, and it's just it's pretty intense at times, but it's also it's very eye-opening, and it's very just, it has you from beginning to end. And the way it's been directed was just beautiful. I love everything about it. It's a film that I can just watch over and over again because it's very moving and it's very haunting as well, I've got to say. I don't know if, Rhett, surely you would have, it's not a fairly recent film.
Yeah, I missed it at the film festival. It was on at the Melbourne International Film Festival and I missed it.
And you missed it. Yeah. So how many times have you seen it, Goff?
I had to go out and get the DVD. I think it's an absolute cracker. I mean, if people want to be educated about Thatcher's Britain, it's very, very good in that because it's about the Falklands War and mainly about the disillusionment of the youth at that time, how unemployment was rife and racism was just through the roof. And if you want a bit of an education on Thatcher's Britain, I think that's the film that you'd want to go and see. I mean, it's an absolute, that one will stay with you, especially the final few scenes. It will absolutely stay with you. And the music, I mean, the music is important to a film, especially for someone who can't see, because it gets you really into
the scene for you. Yeah,
absolutely. And the music in that is so haunting. I mean, it does send shivers. It really does.
Number two.
Well, it's a bit of a different one. This one, we've gone from gripped and quite a solemn subject to something a bit outrageous in I Love You, Philip Morris, which was with Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor, released a few years back. And I just think this film's hilarious. It's a true story. Jim Carrey plays a gay con man, and it's just the way it's been directed so clever because he's a gay con man. They con the audience with how it's shot and the story that they're telling. You think one thing's happening, but another thing's actually happening. So it's wonderfully directed. The same guys that did Crazy Stupid Love and also Focus, that's in the cinema at the moment, are the same writers and directors that did I Love You, Philip Morris. They also wrote Bad Santa. So if you enjoy Bad Santa, you would very much enjoy I Love You, Philip Morris. It's very dark, but very, very, very funny.
Yeah,
very
it's,
funny.
It's, and they're really good filmmakers. I really like their work. We're running out of time, which I didn't. I just want to ask you quickly. So did you know what was going on from watching, for want of a better description, I Love You, Philip Morris, in the first time that you saw it? Because I found it, I mean, I found it, I could see what was going on, and I still found it hard to go, oh, hang on. So he's not that. Oh, you know, just, were you able to work that out?
You're absolutely right. It took me about four or five viewings to actually get every, and I bet you if I sat down with you, I bet you there'd be one or two things that you could point out to me that I've still missed. I mean, it's very clever. The way they've made it is so, so clever, and it's just so damn funny.
It is so damn funny. Number three, Goff.
Number three. Well, I've got to pick one of my own, don't I?
You do.
The Robbie Pockets interview, my latest film on the BeerNuts Productions website, I think deserves a quick mention. It's a parody of a chat show where I play a Michael Parkinson type character, and I'm interviewing Robbie Pocket, the famous pop star of the day, and he tells us about his philosophical journeys through Asia and his albums like Lick the Crumpet and See the Stars and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, he's quite a character, Robbie Pocket, so I'd encourage everybody to head to beernutsproductions.com and check out the Robbie Pocket interview.
Who plays Robbie Pocket?
A terrific actor called Matthew Filkins. He's absolutely brilliant. He's done quite a lot of stage work, toured the country doing a lot of stage work and obviously a lot of commercial work as well. But he's getting into doing some films now, and he's doing kicking a lot of goals. He's very, very funny. He did a brilliant job.
Number four.
Well, it's Still Life, which is a very modern one, it's another British, pretty dark comedy, Still Life. I found it really, really, really moving. I don't know if either one of you have seen this particular one.
I haven't seen it either.
Well, no, it's basically a fellow that works for a council in England who basically they track down family members of deceased people. So if there's no immediate family member of someone who's died, he goes out and he tries to find who the nearest living relative is to see, you know, if they want to attend the funeral and so forth. And the council sack him. And so we follow him through his very last case, and it's quite moving, but it's a very dark British comedy. I think it's worth, if you like dark comedies, I think this one's definitely worth a view. It's very moving too at the end, very touching. It's a beautiful, beautiful film, Still Life. I would definitely recommend that.
There's two that I need to obviously catch up on in This Is England and Still Life. And the fifth and final film for you, Gov.
Well, this one's more of a commercial one for everybody, because everybody will know this one, The Truman Show. I think it's such a clever concept of a film. I mean, when it first came out, I'd never seen anything like that before. I think it's so cleverly directed and so cleverly made. And again, it's very funny, but very subtle, you know, in the way that the comedy is done. And I really, really enjoyed The Truman Show. Obviously, you guys would have definitely seen that one, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I'm just thinking about, you know, the visuals in that are quite striking. You talk about, you know, science fiction not being really your cup of tea because so much is based upon the depiction of a different place or a different time. Because so much of that, about that, you know, to see what the production design was like for the village, the town that Truman lived in, and the fact that, you know, the people watching down were sort of up in the sky. So did you have an audio descriptor when you were watching that, or did you sort of pick that up as you went along?
Well, I didn't actually. The very first time I went to see that was with a girlfriend of mine, and so she was sort of doing a bit of narration for me. But it's the story itself. I just love the story, a clever concept. I mean, just the whole concept of it and how it develops, and I just think it's so well written, you know, the writing of that one. And, of course, I'm a big fan of Jim Carrey, obviously, but I think that the writing of that's so clever. I mean, I'd not see, and then obviously EdTV came out like a year afterward with pretty much a similar storyline, and a lot of films have stolen the sort of concept and the idea, but I think it was pretty original, and it was very funny and very subtle. And that's what I enjoyed about it, is the subtlety of the comedy, because it's a very funny film, I think, Truman.
Yeah, I have to go back again and watch that too. Gough, thank you so much. It's been really interesting talking to you about your work, and all we do is just send people to your website, which is beernutsproductions.com. Have a look at the Robbie Pocket interview for a start, as well as other things that you can access there. And continued good work for the rest of your career. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you very much. It's a delight talking to you guys.
Pleasure. Gough. Yep, that's him. It's like sure. And Beer Nuts Productions is what you need to do. Beernutsproductions.com to find out more information about what his work has been. And what a nice five. This is England. I love you, Philip Morris. One of the little short films that he's made on his own website, The Robbie Pocket Interview, Still Life and The Truman Show.